there are great ball players, and then there are the greatest ball players. What makes the greatest ball players?
It's the ability to perform under dire situations. They would rise to occasions, and that's what makes greatness.
That right there was Red Auerbach giving what is the utmost, like, one of the most important things about these playoffs: pressure. And right about now, we're seeing some teams maybe not operating under pressure so great. Isn't that right, Q?
There's a lot of them, and this is what the playoffs is always based on, man. It's based on the coaching. It's based on the superstars. And we're seeing that a lot of teams are lacking superstars, or their so-called superstars aren't producing. And the pressure starts to mount, and it's getting to the point where we're seeing teams get exposed, and we're seeing teams respond. And it's making for very, very, very tempered playoffs. It's not as exciting as I thought it was going to be, but so far the pressure is on for certain franchises, and we're definitely going to get into that.
Yes, and also for this episode of Off the Bench, we're going to get into some recent coaching changes that have happened. Some may be thinking off of on the surface level, but we're going to go into get a little deeper into explaining, you know, why it did happen for those that maybe not have read the articles yet. Not too much in depth, just enough to get like, hey, this is why so-and-so got fired. Dave Yeager, Frank Vogel, obviously. And there's a lot of coaching spots opening up, too. Like, Sacramento Kings is running a damn coaching circuit, but we're going to get into that later. But first things first, of course, like I just said, this is another episode of Off the Bench. We are going to be breaking down these playoffs. We got Miami Heat. We got versus the Toronto Raptors. The much, I think, the most entertaining series, OKC versus Spurs. Golden State versus Portland. And what was the last one? Oh, right, Cleveland versus Atlanta. Sorry, Kyle.
No one cares about that series.
Yeah. I tried, man. Like, I said Cavs in seven, but Jesus Christ. Like, Cleveland has been hot.
I believe I said Cavs in five.
You did.
Did.
Yes, you did.
Let's hope that happens.
Yeah, a minimum.
Just give me one, Atlanta. Just give me one. Show me some improvement.
Yeah.
Let's start with that because that's gonna be okay. easy to talk about. The Hawks are fucking done. Rest in peace.
Jesus.
Rest in peace.
Oh man.
It's over, bro. You know, I'm sorry. They can't come. I will say this: Kevin Love, get the fuck out of here. Like, that was hilarious. Last game, they were shitting on Kevin Love. They were dragging Kevin Love on every, like, the drag was so real for my man Kevin, man. And I just want to say rest in peace to him. If you, any nigga who lets Chris Humphreys fuck him up, you should never touch a ball ever again. If you get sauced by Chris Humphreys, you should look in the mirror and say, is this really for me? And then you follow up that embarrassment with getting shitted on by Al Horford.
No, it was the first dunk on Love. Then later it was Humphries, and then okay. Again by Horford.
So Horford double banged him, like,
yeah, he murdered him.
Fucking Horford ghetto gagged him, like, it was bad. It was fucking bad.
Man.
That shit was hilarious. Man. Kevin Love, bro, I don't care how good Kevin Love's been playing. I wouldn't touch a ball after Chris Humphries crossed me up. Like, there's just no excuse for that shit. And then this motherfucker, right? This motherfucker Kevin Love gets crossed. Then he gets on his knees and does a fucking hip-hop spin. Like, I feel like I would, like, bruh, go back and watch that Vine. This man, he gets on his knees and he, like, spins on him. So this nigga got He got fucked up, and then he did a spin cycle. Nigga, not even AI do some shit like that, man. Come on, man. Come on, Chris. Come on, Kevin. This is not who you all are. Chris is not supposed to be. Chris Humphries is not supposed to be out here catching bodies the way that he's doing right now. This is not supposed to happen. That should not happen. And then Kevin. And Kevin out here talking about some. It was just a good move. Get the fuck out of here. No, bro. That was one of the most poverty-ass crossovers I ever seen in my life. Like, that was one of the worst crossovers I ever seen. Like, he put the ball down. He didn't even fake. He just put the ball down.
It wasn't even that much of a crossover. Like, he literally just, it was.
He didn't even. And that's what makes it fucking funny. That's what makes that shit so fucking funny to me.
It was like an awkward crossover.
Bro, like, that's what's so funny to me is that Chris just put the ball on the floor and Kevin said, oh!
He broke his head.
It's like, it was like Kevin's first time seeing a crossover. It's like.
I bet you're the garden out here.
Oh, and LeBron was like, what the fuck? Did you see LeBron? Oh, man. LeBron was like, what the fuck is wrong with this? Like. And he like Kevin said, "Who's that?" He said, "It was a crossover, Kevin." What the hell is that?
Oh my god!
Anyway, that series is fucking done.
Five
games.
For some actual basketball analysis. Q got me rolling. He literally. Wait, let me say. He baptized Kevin Love. Al Horford baptized him one time. And he's on the floor looking up at the ref like, what the fuck, bro?
He's like, you gonna have him dunk on me? You gonna have him dunk on me? And the ref was like, Nick, what the fuck you want me to do about this shit? You just got fucked up. Like, God, man. Man.
That was the best part. I know he played decent, but still, man, like, that was...
Okay. Like, Kevin was just, like, he had his arms on the, like, oh, man.
He literally had the bra face.
He said, bro. The thing is, though, that should have been an offensive foul.
What? He dunked right at him!
Yeah, but he was outside the area. And he had his hands down.
I think his heels were in the restricted, but anyway... Anyway, we're not gonna really argue
about
that.
Yeah, we're right. five games.
Yeah, right. that's what we're hoping for. Kyle, I told you this. Your team is better than this. Cleveland. Two things are happening right now. Cleveland is getting hot, clicking right at the same time, and the Hawks are apparently struggling defensively because of it. With
God bless.
I think. The biggest thing I didn't take into account, if you heard the last podcast, was I thought Kent Bazemore was better defensively than what I'm seeing in this Cavs series, and I think it's partially because, you know, the Cavaliers decided to, you know, just suddenly just be shooting flamethrowers and spirit bombs into the damn bucket. It literally was just stupid watching some of those shots. I'm like, those aren't even great shots, some of them, but except for, like, you know, the LeBron laser bullets.
I hope you realize that the whole time you're talking, I'm watching Kevin Love getting fucked up right now.
That's the best part of the series.
But Chris Humphries crosses him. Then Kevin, like, tries to, like, crawl and shit. And then his knees do, like, this fucking roller skater type shit. Like, he slides, like, 3 feet, like he's on a fucking hoverboard. It's, oh, man. And then he spins around. And then you go, oh my god. Next series, fuck
okay,
this.
Kyle, let's hope your Hawks get one because apparently I gave him too much credit. I still have counts, but yeah. Next, we'll go to. You want to do the Golden State Portland?
Let's go Spurs.
Oh, my favorite. Okay. I'm going to get my Darth Sidious on. So. I had Spurs in 5. I think you had Spurs in 6 or 7. I can't remember.
I had Spurs in 7.
Okay. Do you see anything to change that?
No. I think that OKC is talented enough to respond. I think they will respond.
Okay.
I want the Spurs to win this in five. I do. Trust me. I want the Spurs because this is no secret. Well, it might be a secret. I'm rooting for the Spurs to win the finals this year. I had them in the finals, and it's great because you can root for a team, and you can see them also doing it. And y'all know I'm not a Spurs fan, but I just want to see Timmy get his sixth ring. And see Pop get his sixth ring because, first off, that would just be funny for Tim to talk shit to Kobe because that would just be hilarious. He was like, hey, you remember how you came into this league trying to get this? Yeah, I stumbled into this. Like, yeah, I fucking fell into this shit because I just, and I had to play like 5 minutes a game. How y'all like that, Kobe? Anyway, I love Kobe though. So, the thing that's good about this series is seeing. Just a masterful ball movement from the fucking Spurs. Just fact that there was one play in where
it was Spurs.
Kawhi gives the ball to Tony Parker. Tony Parker goes to the rack, and then Kawhi like sets this pick, and he comes off the pick. Tony passes it back to Kawhi. He jams it. It is so beautiful.
Oh. The one I tweeted that literally Worldwide Wobe tweeted it out saying Spurs porn, like literally it's Parker does a cut to the paint, passes it out to David West is on the block, cuts the pass immediately back to Aldridge where he's wide open at the top of the at the free throw line and immediately fires off the mid-range shot, bucket. I was like, Jesus Christ, that was so beautiful. Like, it's so good.
They are the epitome of team trust. They are the epitome of, I got your back, and we're on the same page. And I just love what the Spurs are doing. Now, that being said, they realized that they had to get everyone involved, that LaMarcus Aldridge can't be the 40-point monster because that's ultimately going to kill their defense and it's going to slow their pace down.
Well, my counter to that was that even if OKC was doubling him in game two, and now they're not, but that actually helped Spurs, I believe.
It did, but you have to also take into account that it slows their pace if he's the only one getting touches.
Which is the ironic part, because they want to actually speed it up on OKC. What they've been doing all season,
because they realize that here's the reason why for that. If they can get OKC out and running, who's the best transition defender in the NBA?
Danny Green.
That's their kryptonite. They want Russell Westbrook to get a head full of steam, and Danny Green's gonna swipe at that ball.
The steals and blocks he's gotten on Westbrook and KD are just like.
Because he understands, as a player, he understands leverage and he understands footing. And he also understands timing on his jump.
And position anticipation, yep.
It's so beautiful to see this team has a little bit of everything. And it's not like Kawhi Leonard just, you know, a fucking bum on transition D. He's pretty damn good. I still say Danny Green is better. Like Danny, he gets an A+ on transition.
Oh, transition D? Yeah, he's arguably the best transition defender in the NBA. I said this back when we were talking with Dead End Sports about, you know, when the Spurs played the Warriors, how the Spurs are going to beat them. And I said Danny Green's going to be that big factor in transition. And what are you seeing right now? It's proven once again.
Which is why I think that if the Spurs see the Cavs in the finals and the Cavs try to run, I don't know. But I will say this. From an OKC perspective, I'm worried. I'm very worried, and I'm pressing the panic button now. I need Kevin Durant next game to come out and just dominate. I need him to dominate.
He had a good game. That's the thing. Okay, I blame this on Westbrook more because – once again, the Spurs played it perfectly. They let Westbrook get too comfortable with his bad habits, shooting ridiculously inefficiently, the turnovers, the terrible shot selection,
because Kevin Durant was 10 of 18 in game three, and he didn't get nearly as many touches as Westbrook decided to take on himself, or Steven Adams only had one shot in the game, I think. Like, he got selfish and just a bunch of busted, broken offensive plays, and the Spurs capitalized on turnovers so many times. So,
yeah, man.
He just needs more touches, period. Everybody on the team does. But it's Westbrook gets caught into his bad habits.
But here's the thing. I say that, and I still don't have confidence.
Right? Because I don't either.
Even if KD gets me 45, if the rest of the team isn't doing good, then they're done. Right. I just don't see it. Right. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Which is why
KD can give me 60. He's not beating the Spurs by himself. He's not.
To quote Dion Waiters, one man can't beat us.
One man can't beat us. Yeah, all right, cool. And one man can't beat them. Two men can beat them, but those two men will never be on the same page ever. Like, can we please put to rest this notion that one day Russell Westbrook is going to wake up and be like, holy shit, I have Kevin Durant on my team. Can we please put this to rest that him averaging triple doubles and doing all this stuff in the regular season does not equate to the postseason. It's just not. It's very hard to get a triple double in the postseason. You're not gonna dominate the glass like Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook, like my brother Chris Webber has said, what's the problem with Russell Westbrook is he's a very good rebounding point guard.
Right.
And what he does is, instead of being the first man back on D, he goes for the ball.
He jogs, man. Yeah.
No, he goes for the ball. He goes for the rebound. And guess who's already leaking out? Patty Mills, Tony Parker, Danny Green, anybody who's going to run, right?
Right.
And then you see LaMarcus Aldridge fire a bullet pass down court, and it's one dribble. I'm sorry, no, it's one step, and they're at the basket. And then Russell Westbrook is looking at Cameron Payne, or he's looking at Deion Waiters and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Right. No, Russell, what the fuck are you doing?
We agree. Yeah, because another one of his problems is his transition D. Like, he does not get back on defense, or even when the Spurs are bringing up the ball a couple plays. I think B-Ball Breakdown had plenty of these clips that the Spurs are already, like, you know, halfway up the court, and Russell's still trotting up to the past half court, and literally Kawhi or Tony Parker is literally like a step or two behind him or dribble, and he's like, there's no urgency to get back on defense for him. Like, he's just not playing. He just does not play defense.
Because it's just like, all right, he goes for the rebound. I'm gonna re-say this one more time for all my salty OKC fans, and you can't even dispute this. He's very good at rebounding, so how can you dispute all those triple doubles where he's gotten like 12, 13 rebounds and 10 assists, right? Russell Westbrook will go for the rebound after he takes the fucking 17-foot jump shot and he misses it, right? Who's leaking out for the Spurs? Danny Green, Patty Mills, Tony Parker. LaMarcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan get the rebound. They give it to Kawhi. Kawhi's at the half-court mark. Kawhi fires a pass to Tony Parker and takes one step back, bucket, right? Russell, on his way down the court, is mad at someone like Deion Waiters. He'll be mad at Roberson, like, what the fuck are you doing? No, Russell, what the fuck are you doing? You're the one who's fucking up. You're the one who's not on your assignment. In basketball, the first man back is always supposed to be your point guard. And Russell so often will be so aggressive on the rebounding boards, and it's a gift and a curse. I'm not saying for him to never do it, because you, as a point guard, you should be hungry to go get that ball. But most of the time, Russell's such an athlete. He's such a competitor. He's such an animal on the court that he kind of overplays it. He kind of overachieves a little too much and tries to be that guy too many times. Like Steph Curry, Steph, as great as he is, we know when Steph is trying to do a little too much. We know when LeBron is trying to do a little too much. We know when Kobe was trying to do a little too much. when they played within themselves is when we saw, okay, yo, this guy's really on his game and he understands every facet of the game. And Russell is so – he has such an animal instinct that he sees blood and it just instinctively takes over him. And he smells blood. He's just like, all right, I got to go now. I got to take this to the basket. I got to just give this ball to nobody but me. I got to take this shot. I'm going to be this guy. And I love that mentality. But at the same time, that mentality is the same thing that can kill you on your defensive plus minus. The same thing that can kill the momentum for your team. The same thing that can stop your team from getting in a rhythm. And it can stop yourself from getting in a rhythm. Because if you're constantly giving yourself the ball, you're tiring yourself out. And you're letting guys like long rebounds are some of the worst things that San Antonio can do to you. And San Antonio is not a very good long rebounding team. And then you get to this series and you see that they're still struggling with Enes Kanter. But the problem is that Russell, it starts at the top. Russell gets a little over aggressive, tries to do a little too much, shoots a little too many jump shots, and KD does not get the ball enough. I'm sorry. KD has to touch the ball 40 times. He just has to.
Yeah, you're not even talking shots. You're just talking touches.
He has to touch the ball 40 times, at least in the first quarter. To me, KD has to touch the ball like 40 times every quarter. I'm sorry. Like, he just has to.
Oh, God.
The ball has to be at least in his hands for a second, at least 40 times in a quarter.
Like, the thing I want to go on your point is that, hopefully I didn't forget it, was, yeah, that mentality does end up being his curse, because then he's only focused on getting the bucket for himself, not for the team. And then also, again, the difference between if he got that rebound and then to say through an outlet pass to someone like at half court or someone who's already running in transition, then it'd be different, because then he's not necessarily worrying about going with a head full of steam. I can list some players that would do that, but then, you know, I'd be filling my Celtics quota right now. Anyway.
But yeah, man, those are basically my thoughts for what,
I still have Spurs in five, and from what I'm seeing, like the game. Okay, if we're gonna mention the game two calls, we're not getting into the foul call thing, because that thing was addressed very well with Dead End Sports.
I'm just kind of done with it now.
Yeah, they got the tweets I sent out and the explanation. That was all set up. We're not getting into that. But that was OKC's one win, and to get it that way, they got it. But I don't think they're going to get another, because that's how good it had to be. The Spurs had to be that off on their home court for them to lose.
I'll tell you right now, they were, to speak on that game too, just real quick, the Spurs missed like 7 point-blank layups
in the first quarter.
If they had just 3 of those, they would have won that game.
Right. Which is why assuming Spurs take this game tomorrow or Sunday, basically, this series is very close to being done. And then we'll be talking about what is KD going to do this offseason.
Oh, and it's going to be fucking lit. Just and then we're please
gonna,
no.
And we'll bring back Q's comparison about Batman and Superman about Russell and KD.
Oh, yeah.
I still got Spurs in 5. I still don't understand how some people still took OKC in 7. Billy Donovan is not that great of a coach. Let me rephrase that statement, because I watched some videos on B-Ball Breakdown, to be fair, compare his college coaching to NBA. He was great in college, but what he did in the NBA in terms of bringing stuff that he did in college to the NBA, he only brought like maybe 10% of that. And I think that maybe because of the situation he's in and he's afraid to influence too much of the players to buy in. So right now he's not doing himself any favors as coming off as a great NBA coach. He's not good. It's just not good.
No, and The Thunder hired the wrong college coach.
What do you think they should have hired?
Kevin Ollie.
Are you saying that because of the KD connect? Or?
I'm saying that because I fucking love Kevin Ollie as a coach. Okay. And he knows KD. He knows KD's game. He played with him. He knows him. He knows Russell. He understands. There's nothing better than a player who knows you as a player. I'm sorry. There's nothing better as a coach who knows you better as a player and a person. That is the one. That is something that no player would turn down. If you can get someone who knows you on and off the court, and Kevin Ollie knows KD and Russell on and off the court, and they're good friends. They're not like, you know, best friend. I call Kevin every day, but when they see each other, they're like, yo, what's up, man? It's like one of those type of deals, and Kevin would know how to use him. And I like what Kevin Ollie does with his guards. He tempers his guards down, and he teaches his guards to
facilitate.
Know when to take over. Know when to take their shots. Like, just look at what he did with Napier. He made Napier look like he could be a good point guard in the NBA. Oh,
he fooled LeBron.
LeBron said, "Damn, this kid can play."
That's the best guy in the draft. Miami, draft that kid.
Yeah, we see what happens. Anyway, yeah, let's move on. Yeah. Let's go Portland and Golden State.
Okay. This is definitely entertaining to watch, just because purely off the offensive ability and actually on both ends too. It's not one. It's not just from the scoring.
Are these the best two backcourts in the NBA?
To me, yes.
So not John Wall and Bradley Beal when healthy.
I think Portland's better.
I kind of fucking agree with that because
Bradley Beal is nice, but CJ, the both of them, it only takes one bucket, and it's literally an octane microwave ready to blow up.
Yeah, they go nuclear in a second. Like, it's just, it's a vibe when, like, they catch it. They just catch a vibe, and they just get in a flow. And it is
getting their rhythm, like
it's a beautiful thing. Like that shot for Damian Lillard to seal the game when it was like 114 to 108, and I believe it was 108 to 114 at the time. And then Clay has a hand in Damian Lillard's face. Damian Lillard stops, pivots, he puts up a shot, net, 3-pointer, seals the game. 1:20 left. That's it. Once a 120, 108. Beautiful. He is, to me, I just try to think of a comparison for him that's like, yo, this guy. Like,
it's a bunch of different ones.
Do you see some 06 D Wade?
If we were going to say if Wade was a point guard.
Yeah. Matter of fact, no. I know exactly.
That shot threes?
No, I know exactly what he is.
Okay.
Gilbert Arenas.
Say what?
Gilbert Arenas.
What?
I see Gilbert Arenas in Damian Lillard.
I'm gonna have to like look up some damn film.
Oh man.
This is some hell of an epiphany.
Oh man. Gilbert Arenas was that man. Gilbert Arenas.
Okay.
He was that man for like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I see that within Damian Lillard. I see, because Gilbert could shoot the ball. Could take it outside. He gave Kobe 62.
Yeah.
You need to go back and watch his film and compare it.
Yeah, I'd have to really like dig that one up, because that was an epiphany that felt like it was right on the spot. Like, damn, like light bulb.
Like, I just thought, oh, like, damn, that he really does. Like, they both wore zeros too, which is crazy. The original vision too.
Like the rhythm they can get in. Like, there was a shot from 35 feet for Dame that he just got in a rhythm. Like he Klay was guarding him on the left elbow, or well, above the left elbow. Dame got separation and was still far out from the 3-point line, at least like a couple feet. And that's like we're talking pretty much like, you know, unless you're Steph Curry, people are going to say that's a bad shot. But for Dame, that's in his range, and he literally shot it three, silky right in. Like, wow. He's already gone.
He's on. And I just want to give a huge shout out to Portland's others. Golden State is not in trouble yet. Golden State, yeah. If Curry comes back and they lose the game, I'm going Portland in seven. I'll say that right now.
I think if Curry is not on, they'll be in six. Okay.
But
yeah.
if Curry comes back and they lose, Golden State loses, give me Portland in seven. I'm going to take that on a limb.
Disclaimer, he's picking with his heart, folks.
In a slim chance. So don't come on here and be like, oh, you can't believe you picked the Golden State. You're an idiot. All right, first off, I'm going off a limb. What's the point of having a podcast if you can't make dumbass picks? What's the point?
Get a little hot take here.
Like, come on now. Like, you know, they fucking pay people like Jeff Van Gundy to talk shit like that. Millions of dollars.
Skip Bayless gets paid to troll.
Like, Stephen A gets paid to fucking buck dance on TV and shit. Like, we already know he gets paid to coon. Like, we already know he's out there buck dancing and shit. Like, come on now. Let me talk my shit. Let me talk, but I digress. But anyway. Give me Golden State if they lose, right? The Golden State loses. Give me Portland in seven.
Okay.
And that's my take. Much respect to Portland's others. They're balling out. Much respect to Aminu, who has been a revelation for them.
Chief.
He's been going crazy.
Yeah, he had a...
Ed Davis, too. Night. Ed Davis. Ed Davis.
I knew that was
going to be a good pickup for Portland. I was like, this is a good pickup. People don't realize how good it is. And what's crazy is I know a guy who knows Ed Davis's agent, and I knew he was going to leave the Lakers, and I was thinking, yo.
Who wouldn't?
I was just like, man, if Ed Davis is real, then the Lakers are going to look really fucking stupid. And then I come to find out his defense is really fucking real. He's like a little mini DeAndre. Not a mini DeAndre, but he's like a little DeAndre. He's like DeAndre Jordan's little cousin who nobody knows about, but he's still nice. You know what I'm saying? respect to Ed Davis, too. Klay Thompson is balling out, but they need...
Draymond is, too.
But they need Steph to beat this team.
They need Steph, but the other thing that they need is the thing that they didn't do in this game where they lost was they relied on Klay and Draymond too much and they didn't distribute.
Yeah, them. Harrison caught a little flame at the end. He got a little.
There was a lot of Ian Clark in this game.
Yeah, that's what the hell was that? Was
that's not a sentence you want to be saying that was, in Golden State.
That was the most disgusting. Like, personally. I was disgusted. I said, Ian who? Like, all right, never mind. I digress.
Come to actually to give context why Terry Stotts. I was hoping maybe he listened to the last podcast where I said he should start Henderson over Harkless, but I guess the reason was Harkless was having some hip pain, so he had Henderson start over him in the second half. But it worked out great. Anyway,
and I think he's gonna look at that and be like, "Oh shit, let's do that."
That and also look at those matchup and the net rating where I believe Ed Davis has better favorability in the statistics than Mason Plumlee was against Golden State is right now. Like,
and I hope Dame understands that if Curry comes back, he needs to attack his ankle. No Charles Barkley. I'm not gonna say, you know, I'm not gonna advocate taking a sledgehammer to his ankle, but I will say this: attack his ankle by going to the basket. Make him play defense.
Well, wait. His issue was the knee. But
okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. The knee, not the ankle. Fuck. I keep thinking about that damn time he twisted that shit in the Thunder. I cannot believe he didn't break that shit. That shit was weird. But yeah, the knee. Attack that knee.
Yeah, laterally. Make him move.
Make him play defense all night. And then you'll see at the end he's tired. And he can't move it. I'm telling you, I've done this shit before. I've done it all.
I mean, like, if Dame Lillard takes a page from Avery Bradley and calls him the best on-ball perimeter defender and saw his – he watched that game against the Celtics. If he does what Avery Bradley does to Steph, okay then.
Yeah, he needs to just get in the lab and just go crazy. But I digress. That's my thoughts. Do you have anything else for Golden State?
I still got Golden State in six. We'll see what happens game four, because this will be a big one momentum-wise, because everything is still in Golden State's favor. I think Curry goes to questionable instead of doubtful. We'll see if he plays. If he doesn't, then guarantee Golden State going to be locking in defensively, and it's going to be a dog fight in the Moda Center. That should be a good game. And I think the most sluggish, ugly basketball series for the semifinals this round, Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Q's favorite dude, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Has broken out of his mental...
Look, man, Kyle's from Philly. Like, I can never hate on my brother, right? As a person. Right. But...
You're getting his ass a little
bit. I just have so many feelings. I'm gonna let you go first. I'm gonna let you go.
I'll let you marinate and get it ready. This series is more competitive than I thought it was gonna be at first. I had the Heat originally in seven, and now if the Whiteside injury is an MCL sprain, I'm going to change that to Toronto in six, to be fair to Wade. And if, especially if Jonas Valanciunas is fine with his ankle, which I think he should be. But it's just some ugly basketball, man. Like, I remember we talked about how Toronto was one of the low assisting teams in the league. It's even worse in the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of ISO ball. And DeMar DeRozan, I'm sorry, for his Lakers audition, DeMar is he played a better game three, but it is still far from his efficiency in the regular season. It is not a great shot selection at times. Raptors fans, I mean, look, there's gonna be some criticisms because I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Raptors fans, is the offense that I saw, that I thought I saw in the regular season compared to what I'm seeing now, is basically the Toronto offense has become slow to the point of where it's Lowry or DeRozan goes into the elbow of the court, waits for whatever ball screen or pick to come out or whatever it is that's being run, if anything. And most of the time, the ball ends up back into Lowry or DeRozan's hands to then either try to drive or shoot a mid-range shot that may not be a great look. And it's already five... Basically, when it's 5 seconds left on the shot clock, freak out! Like, move whatever, and all of a sudden, freak out! Like, every time, and it's like... It works or it doesn't. That was the first two games. Game three, it got better because all of a sudden Kyle Lowry found his stroke again. But, like, Jonas Valanciunas has been the best player for Toronto this series. He's been the best player.
Him and Corey Joseph.
Yes, Corey Joseph, too. He deserves a lot of props as well. He's been their best backcourt player this entire series. Jonas Valanciunas deserves the game ball for game two and game three. He has been great. And he will be such a problem for the Heat with no Whiteside if he doesn't play, assuming. But it's not looking good. It is some ugly ball. I know Ken wants to lighting up Joe Johnson's ass on Twitter.
Yeah, what the hell was Joe doing today? From what I heard,
he was his normal ISO cool Joe black hole. 0 for 10 for 3. He could not hit the clutch game tying shot against Toronto. There are people who are like, dude, he roasts the Raptors. What? It's not the prettiest series. It's a slugfest. It's competitive because unlike Game 3, where the Raptors had like actually a double-digit lead, it's mostly been like within a series of runs and like within 6 points.
Like when it comes to this team, like culturally, I fucking hate the Raptors. I said it before, I'll say it again. I hate their fans. I hate what they stand for. I hate the team that the way it's controlled. I hate their so-called superstars. I hate this team. And very briefly, I'm going to just tell you why. Culturally, the Raptors are a fucking joke. They're a fucking novelty. And I can hear the fucking keyboards typing away. All right, but now, oh man, all this hate, I can just hear it, and they are salty as shit. What the fuck do you mean? The Raptors are good. What do you mean? It's like, oh yeah, all right, I'm gonna tell you why, dipshit. I'm gonna really tell you why. Think about this. You all are the corniest fucking fans in the NBA. Y'all call your little, like, you call yourselves Jurassic Park. Do you realize how whack that shit is? Do you realize that Drake is the only reason people give a single fuck about your team? If y'all were just another team, y'all would be just another team. If y'all didn't have Drake, just another team. That was in the playoffs. Y'all would be the Hawks. Pretty good team, right? But instead, you've turned a respectable, okay team into a spectacle. And I'm not even mad at it, but I just really don't like it. I just really don't like what this is. Like, everything that is encapsulated with the Raptors is, oh, did you hear about us? We're from the Six. Get it? Because we're from Toronto. OVO. Get it? Because Drake. He loves us. Remember Drake is here? Yeah. In case you didn't know, Drake is here. I don't know if the announcers already said it 5 fucking times, but Drake is here. You know, the guy who sings songs, Drake, the Six. This is so fun. It's not fun. It's not. It's really not. It's fucking whack. Huh, get it? Because Drake and the Six, and, you know, he has an album called Views from the Six. Huh, yeah, okay. We get it. Toronto, we fucking get it. Toronto, we understand. We understand. We understand. You are from the Six. That's great. No other team does this but them. No other team has a night so their fans can guzzle a rapper's cum in communion the way that they do. They have a Drake night. That they have a Drake night where you can go in a Hotline Bling booth and dance, get OVO gear, so you can dress like a bitch in communion. Oh. It's just so funny to me. It's just so sad to me, man. And I just hate it. Oh, man, I can just hear the fucking keyboards. You know what the fuck you're talking about? You don't know anything. What the fuck? Drake is a good rapper. You're hating. Oh, fuck off. Fuck off, man. Eat a dick. Like, honestly, like, every Raptors fan who's on that whole Jurassic Park, oh, we're from the Six. Eat a dick. Like, really, like, just fuck off. Like, because that shit is so annoying. No other fan base does this. They don't The Celtics don't call the arena the Pot of Gold. The Warriors don't call their fucking, you know, shit, the Barracks. The Sixers don't call Wells Fargo the fucking Foundation for America. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just dumb shit, right? The Heat don't call their arena the Atmosphere.
Well, I mean, what about Roracle?
Roracle is different.
Okay.
Because it's just, it's Roracle. It's not corny.
Okay.
It's like, because it has a name.
Right.
It has a name Oracle, and it backs it up.
Oracle now it becomes
Roracle. Yeah, like, it has a name and it backs it up. Like,
it's not doing too much.
Yeah, it's not doing too much. Like, it's like a Washington Wizards fan naming their fucking stadium the damn Cauldron. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're mad corny. Like, oh, we're here at Hogwarts to watch the John Wall. Like, what?
So, what about Buzz
City? Buzz City is cool because you're really the Hornets.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. Oh, we're here in Buzz City. Oh, that's cool, huh? That's for Rip City, huh? That's cool. Jurassic Park. Like, honestly, my guy, who the fuck do you think, like, Drake... He goes around, everyone gets OVO gear, everyone, you know, because we're definitely from the six, you know, because we're in Toronto, get it? Because we're from the six. Oh, yeah, because we're from the six. Oh, I'm from the six. I mentioned I'm from the six. Yes, we fucking get it. You're from the six. Oh, Corey Joseph, that's so cool. Oh, Drake, he rapped about Corey Joseph in a song. I win a ring and bring it home like Corey Joe. Oh, so it's a coincidence that Corey Joe wears six. Oh, it's not. Get it? Because he's from Toronto. That's so cute, boy. That's so fucking cute. That's amazing. Who would have thought of that? That's so great. And then you get Drake jerseys. Oh, my God. Amazing. Drake jerseys.
The OVO.
Oh, my God. Jerseys. Fuck off with that. Like, did I mention that we're from the oh, my God. And then you have the most insufferable vanishing act in the NBA known as DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. They have one good game, they start flexing their fucking muscles. Like, fuck off. Like, oh, my God. That shit is so annoying to me. And I'm not even hating on this shit. It's just factual that this shit is abnormal. Oh, my. Like, dude. Not even Cavs fans are as annoying as Raptors fans. Raptors fans, I don't mean Cavs fans going around.
Holy shit.
Nicknaming. They don't say, we're in the land. Even though LeBron tries to make that land shit happen, it doesn't happen. A couple fans say, we're in the land. Every Raptors fan I know says, well, that's just how we do it in the six. Fuck off! Eat a dick.
Do they call their friends?
Oh my god! If they do, then just God bless. Like, oh man, God bless. Like, it is bad. It is bad. I have a fucking problem with this. And then don't even get me started on how the Raptors get every call their way the last minute of a fucking game. And, by the way, at the six, when they're in the six, they make sure that they get every call. Fucking DeMar, fucking damn near rock bottoms, Jan Mahimi. Oh, man. Yeah. The fucking foul against D Wade, DeMar Carroll grabs D Wade's jersey in game two. Oh man, it's all bad. That, like, just God bless, man. Like, oh man, Drake just makes it even worse. Like, Drake just makes it even fucking worse. And just some, like, I'm taking a lot of time. Just a little talk about the series. If the Heat get Whiteside, then they're done. The Heat are done. If they can't get Whiteside back, they're done. Unless D-Wade goes so deep that he pulls out some 06. If then...
Well, that and...
What's up?
Yeah. That and Jonathan Charks at the Ringer mentioned if Justice Winslow plays small ball five center...
Oh, God.
Could have a moment.
Oh, God.
You know, in a Draymond-esque fashion, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's desperate. Anyway, moving on.
McBob's got a
deal. Anyway, no, no. Anyway, we have to...
They need the offer.
We have to move on. I just thought about OVO headbands. Like, let's just get on with this shit.